Let's get to afl.com.au. Must be a senior reporter down there now. Riley Beveridge is his name. Riley, thanks for your time.
G'day, Kane. Thanks for having me on.
Tom Stewart, 4 weeks. You just heard Peter in Essendon, and he thought it should be 6-4 is about the gut feel that I thought it would land at when I first saw the incident. How did you view it?
Yeah, I thought 4 weeks as well. I mean, the sort of case that I was making in my own head was that it could have really been intentional, and I think had it have been graded intentionally and had he pled guilty to intentional conduct, he would have been looking at a minimum 4-match ban at the tribunal, and it was obviously graded careless, and careless was a minimum 3 games. So the way I looked at it was, because it was so borderline, I thought the AFL was always going to argue for 4, just to make a bit of a statement of intent, as opposed to going for 3 and just having it be the minimum charge as it is graded careless. So I thought 4 was about right, and I think Tom Stewart just sort of takes his whack there, misses the next 4 games. It'll be interesting now to look at how Geelong covers for his loss, because I personally think he's probably their most important player down there. He'd be leading their best and fairest so far this season, I think. So how they cover for him, his interceptability, his metres gained, his rebound ability down there is going to be crucial, and they actually face a pretty defining little period in their hopes for making top 4, I think, in the next month of footy. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they cover for him.
We successfully got this rule change, Riley. You've shared, you've had to put up with my frustrations. We share a studio each and every Saturday night, and often I can't contain my despair over the rule, and you've witnessed it. The AFL have adjusted it, thank goodness.
Yeah, they have. I think it's important that they haven't gotten rid of it completely. No. They've just adjusted it slightly. So it's that where you bring an opposition defender into the protected zone and then split from them. Like we saw with the Matt Guelphy one, which we highlighted on the round so far about a fortnight ago. Then I think in the same round of fixtures, there was the Taylor Walker one, which was late in that game against Gold Coast, which arguably cost more of their momentum. The Suns kicked a goal from that. They've got it back to 2 goals, the Crows. And the Suns kicked a goal and ended up winning it by 40-odd points. So it cost them all the momentum. It's frustrating to watch as a fan. I think that was the technicality in how players had exploited it. I do want to ask you, though, are you happy with just the tweak? Do you want it gone completely? Or are you just happy that they've managed to just get rid of this little split rule that is being exploited by players?
Yeah, so my thing was it needed to be relaxed. Relaxation of it, I'm a fan. I don't mind the rule as long as you are understanding of how hard a game it is to play. So if a player is absolutely doing their best to exit the area if they find themselves in it and they're not holding play and they're not tactically trying to stop the player with the ball from playing on, then I think there needs to be a bit of leniency for the players who are often running at full speed, often chasing a man to stop them getting the handball receive, and that's the reason for the adjustment to this. So I just hope, like the dissent rule, that there is a bit more common sense in the way that it is adjudicated, because often, and a lot of the ones we've seen this year have resulted in goals. You know, the memory, I don't know, this isn't going to solve the Gordon one on the weekend that Membry kicked a goal from, but the penalty often results in a goal, and goals are hard to come by these days when teams are so defensive. So hopefully the umpires just show, are allowed to show a little bit more common sense than what they've been showing recently. Hey, it's getting to that time of year when we start to look at those players that aren't signed yet. Now, I spoke to Chris Davies from Port Adelaide about Carl Aim on Monday. Essentially, he's saying, without saying it, that he's gone. But you know, it's a more mature way of handling it, that Carl will still be a really important player for them for the last remaining games, but then he will probably go with their blessing. Do you think the industry, fans, footy clubs are growing up a little bit in this space?
I think they are. And I think the sort of the accessibility to international sports where this is commonplace sort of gets Australian fans and footy fans on that page a little bit more. There's a lot of Australian football fans that would watch the NBA and the NFL and sports where this happens regularly and where futures of players debated regularly throughout the season. I mean, I don't think there'd be any Port Adelaide fans out there that would look at Carl Amon and think that he's not going to give absolutely everything for the club in its chase to make finals in the back half of the season, even if his mind is made up. But I think we could get to that place now. I think there's clearly, I mean, you hear Chris Davies speak about it, there's clearly not going to be any animosity between the two parties if he does choose to exercise his free agency rights. So I don't understand why people or pundits or fans would think there's any animosity from the other way and that they'd harbour any sort of unwillingness to put their body on the line for their club each week. They I mean, at the end of the day, it's their job. And but at the end of the day, they put their body and their physical well-being on the line every single week. So I can't imagine why anyone would think that there's not going to be any more willingness to go out and play footy for the club they're currently representing. So, I mean, I don't know if I'd feel entirely comfortable with the fact that a player would come out publicly and say their mind is made up, that they're definitely leaving. But I think in this instance, if Carl Amon, as a good example, if he's respectful of Port Adelaide and he doesn't speak about his future and he just sort of carries that internally and he has private conversations that remain private with Port Adelaide and with Victorian clubs, then I think everyone should respect that decision as well.
So that's the easier one where, you know, he's given, you know, 10-year service or whatever it is, for 8-year service for Carl Amon. The harder ones is someone like Luke Jackson. And for Melbourne fans who think, you know, we've invested heavily, played at a successful club, won a premiership, 4 years, bang, gone. That's the one that's more difficult to accept. What's the feeling on this? It feels like, and on Footy Classified, Craig Hutchins spoke about the fact that, you know, it appears that he's gone. Do you share that view, or are Melbourne still a shot to keep him?
I think it's really up in the air at the moment. And I mean, I think that in itself is probably worrying from a Melbourne perspective, in the sense that you'd want to guarantee at this stage of the season, or you'd want it to be more certain that more likely than unlikely that he does stay. I think it's really up in the air. I think he'll probably use the next couple of months to sort of talk through his future and weigh it up in his own mind whether or not he wants to go home. I mean, the question of going to Fremantle is they're probably in just as good a place as Melbourne to continue challenging for the next 5 to 10 years. It's not like he's going to West Coast where he's going to have to start a really big rebuild again and maybe not be in a position to try and claim a premiership in the next 5 years again. I think if he goes to Fremantle, he'd be right in the hunt as Melbourne are right now. They might be maybe one peg below Melbourne in terms of just how ready they are to challenge for a flag. But again, it's the other thing. Like we spoke about Carl Amon and how much years of service he'd given Port Adelaide, but every club and every fan base just wants to win a premiership. Luke Jackson's helped Melbourne win a premiership. So I think in that sense, you almost have to say, you know what, if he does choose to leave, he's done all he can to get us to where we wanted to be. I mean, he's given us a year's worth of service that resulted in the flag, and he was a crucial part of that grand final side. He played a crucial role in that grand final. So it's another one where you sort of think, yeah, he hasn't given 10 years of service, but he has contributed to winning the holy grail of football. So you have to sort of, again, in a different sort of way, respect the decision.
Mm. Were you surprised Lachie Neale signed?
Not really. I think Brisbane put everything in place for him and his family to feel comfortable there. Obviously, that was what was weighing on his mind when he was welcoming a baby and whether or not he wanted to go home to have more family support. So I'm surprised a little bit by the fact that it was a 3-year deal tacked on to the 1 year he already had remaining on his contract. So it takes him through 2026. I think he'll be 33 by the time that extension runs out now. So, I mean, the length of it, maybe if it had been a 2-year deal, that was the only sort of small thing that surprised me. I mean, I wasn't overly shocked that he had re-signed, but yeah, the length of the deal was just a little bit that raised my eyebrows. Not for any bad reason, just for the fact that it was such a long-term deal at this stage of his career.
And a word on the AFLW drafts, Riley. You 7 o'clock tonight on the AFL website, the only place you'll see it?
Yep, exclusively every pick, 7 p.m. afl.com.au. It'll be myself, Sarah Black and Sarah Ollie on the desk going through every pick, so make sure you tune in. It's going to be a good night and an interesting night. First ever all 18 clubs where they'll be drafting at once, so be fascinating to watch it unfold.
Great stuff as always, mate. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken.
Riley Beveridge, you'll see him tonight, the coverage of the AFLW draft from 7 o'clock on the AFL website. You'll also see him alongside me each and every Saturday night, taking you through the rounds so far, up soon after the final siren on the last game.